There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Well, a man who knows all about the weather is joining us now. Ollie Barrett's in London. Ollie, how are you? Happy New Year.
Hello, guys. Happy New Year.
Well, we are going to talk about Storm Eleanor in a little while, but if we can start off with this story about German doctors are opposing medical checks on asylum seekers. This, of course, is making major headlines over in Europe.
Yeah, that's right. And what we've had today is the German Medical Association, which brings together German doctors, going on record to come out against proposals which are currently on the table in Germany, which suggest that young refugees and asylum seekers should have to undergo medical tests, compulsory medical tests, to try and work out how old they are. One of the reasons that conservative lawmakers in Germany are so keen to have these tests in place is to try and make sure that some young migrants and refugees are not lying to authorities about how old they are. And the reason they might be tempted to do that is that if you are under 18 in Germany and an asylum seeker, it's much harder, much less likely that you're going to be deported from the country. The reason that these proposals have been put on the table by right-wing politicians in Germany is particularly one case, which was the a girl who was killed allegedly by an Afghan migrant. This took place last week. This 15-year-old stabbed with a kitchen knife outside a shop in Kandel, which is in the southwestern part of Germany. It's an Afghan refugee who is accused of attacking her, and he says that he is 15 years old, but the girl's father says that he believes there is no way that the alleged attacker is 15, but suggests that with the current system in place, there's no way of finding out exactly how old the alleged attacker is. Well, to cut a long story short, the German Medical Association says despite all of that, checks to ascertain the age of refugees and asylum seekers would be ethically wrong, but would also be unreliable. So controversy looming about this, at the moment we have a system in place in Germany in which officials do ask and try and determine the ages of new arrivals into the country, but they do that with voluntary medical tests and through verbal interviews. So not a very foolproof system. And the wider context, of course, to all of this is the European refugee crisis and the huge numbers of people who have been coming into Germany over the last few years, which has been a controversial policy of German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
And how does this work, Ollie, when it comes to the coalition in Germany? No, coalition talks are ongoing between the CSU and the Social Democrats as well. So is this going to be a key part of the talks, do you think?
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, the CSU do want all young asylum seekers to have medical tests if their ages are in doubt. Other members of a potential coalition are less convinced by the plan. As you rightly say, the process of trying to put towards a government in Germany is still underway, has not yet reached conclusion, so potentially complicating for that process too.
Move over to Russia now, where a man has been charged over the St. Petersburg bombing.
Yes, and the suspect being identified as Dmitry Lukyanenko, who's said to be 35 years old. Russia's investigative committee says that this man has had psychiatric treatment and is reported to be a member of a nationalist group in Russia. This was an attack which took place on the 27th of December at a supermarket in St. Petersburg, the Perekrestok supermarket. There was a bomb which had been hidden near in a locker which is used by shoppers in the store near to the checkout where people pay, and there were quite a good deal of explosives in the bomb. The attacker wounded 18 people, thankfully no fatalities involved, but the Russian officials now telling us that this man has been charged with terrorism over this bombing attack. Previously, ISIS had claimed responsibility for it but hadn't been able to give any evidence, and Dmitry Lukyanenko, the 35-year-old man, is the man that Russian authorities believe might have been behind it.
And Ollie, we have a rolling news channel on behind us at the minute, and I can see there's people protesting over rail fares in the UK. There was someone holding a sign saying Happy New Year, rail increases. And it's something that happens quite frequently, but it's still something that doesn't seem to be any closer to a resolution.
Yeah, I mean, the reason fares go up is that they're linked to but capped in terms of inflation. The difficulty this time around, not that this is not always controversial when ticket prices go up here in the UK, one of the extra difficulties this time around is that inflation is running very high in the UK, or high compared to the recent history in Britain, but actually wages aren't keeping up with inflation for many people. So while the train companies are putting ticket prices up along with inflation, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they are as affordable as they used to be for the consumer who is using these train services. The average price rise we're seeing across the UK this year, 3.4%. That represents the biggest increase for fares since 2013. Many commuters are seeing their annual season ticket, therefore, go up by, you know, as much as £100. Rail fares are very expensive in the UK. The rail companies insist that the fare increases will be invested in services, will be helping to make the system run more efficiently. But many commuters say that, you know, the current service they are getting is not very good, and they are currently paying huge amounts of money, and they feel that that's unfair. So there's been dozens of protests at stations up and down the UK today. For comparison's sake, it's been pointed out that on some routes here in the UK, with a consumer paying £4,000 or £5,000 for a yearly a ticket to get to and from London, you could go to Germany, and for that price, you would get a ticket which would allow you unlimited travel throughout the whole country for the whole year, and you would likely get a better service with trains running on time and perhaps being more clean, and perhaps with better food on board. So, you know, there's a confluence of woes here for the UK train commuter. They feel the service they're getting isn't good enough, but they also feel that it's very, very expensive compared to other European countries, and at times not very efficient as well. So you're right that it's an annual problem. We see annual complaints from travellers this year, particularly so because, as I say, ticket prices rising by 3.4%, which for many people is beyond the pay increase they've seen this year.
And Ollie, you mentioned about the kind of service that you get there on Britain's rail network. It's going to be, I suppose, struck this service by really bad weather that's on the way, with a storm Eleanor carrying winds of 80 miles per hour, which is around about 130 kilometres per hour, and it's on the way in.
Yeah, exactly. And we think that it's going to hit at about 1800 GMT, so in about 3.5 hours from now. Winds of, as you say, up to 128 kilometres an hour. The storm is called Storm Eleanor. The Met Office here in the UK is saying that there are parts of England, Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland which are going to see disruption from this storm. The Met Office talking about the danger of flying debris because of the high winds, disruption to transport as well, power supplies too. And it has been a pretty busy winter in terms of storms. We haven't seen anything sort of catastrophic, but we have seen a number of storms which have, you know, caused pretty significant disruption on roads, to planes, to flights, airports, trains as well. So all eyes on Storm Eleanor hitting, probably starting in Northern Ireland and Ireland later today, and then Wednesday here we're going to see pretty stormy weather for quite a few parts of the country. We've already seen ferry crossings to and from the Isle of Man, suggestions that they're going to be cancelled with winds getting high. And as I say, Wednesday is going to be a pretty blustery day for many parts of the country, and that could lead to things like coastal flooding and all sorts of other disruption too.
Now, Ollie, I don't know if you will be able to answer this, but I'm hoping you might. People listening might not be familiar with this, but we have these storms in the UK, and they do this in America, but they have a sort of naming convention, don't they? The way the Met Office picks the names for the storms.
Yeah, exactly. And it's essentially down to alphabets. So the last storm that came through was called Dylan. So now we're on to Eleanor because of the E coming next in the alphabet. But yeah, the naming convention is a new arrival on UK shores, or newish, and we certainly seem to take it from the United States. And it does lead to people being able to discuss the name of the storm as it approaches, some people who share a name with a storm aren't often best pleased as it turns up and batters the country.
But it's one of those things, people, the idea is that we feel more connected to a storm if it's got a name. We understand if we might be affected, we might be more likely to take action. But as you mentioned, if your name is Eleanor or has been Dylan or any of the other names, it's kind of a bit unfortunate.
Exactly. And, you know, as I say, we haven't this holiday period had anything catastrophic, but were you to share a name with a really awful storm that led to the loss of life and became one of those storms that, you know, goes down in British history, British folklore, as being devastating, you're not going to be best pleased by that.
You're quite a few letters away from being named after a storm, or having a storm named after you, I should say, anyway. But Ollie Barrett, our Europe correspondent over in the UK, thanks for joining us as ever on a Tuesday evening for us, afternoon for you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.